I want to ask you a question as we go into our text this morning. Have you ever been misunderstood by somebody? Where somebody made a judgment call on your intentions, what you were thinking, when in fact you never intended nor thought what they thought you were thinking? And I want to flip that. Has that ever happened where you have judged another person's intentions, that perhaps you were wrong or I was wrong about the other person? It happens. It's part of the human condition. And I think that's what Jesus was addressing this morning in the text. But before I go there, I want to give you an interesting example. Back in 1716, when they printed that year's version of the King James Bible, there was one verse that they messed up on, John 5:14. And what they printed in that Bible was, "Sin on more." They reversed the letters. It should have said, "Sin no more." And that must have been one heck of a year in 1716. "Sin on more." Just a misunderstanding by a simple switch of two letters. I have another example. There was a businessman. He wanted to send a floral arrangement to a friend of his who was opening a new branch office in his business. His friend called later in the day to thank him for that considerate gesture, but was a little confused about the accompanying card, which read, "Rest in peace." So the businessman apologized for the mix-up, and he quickly called to chastise the florist for that mix-up. And the florist tried to console the executive for the honest mistake that was made. And then he said to the executive, "That's nothing. Somewhere in a cemetery, there's a bouquet with a note reading, 'Good luck in your new position.'" These honest mistakes, these very innocent things that happen in life where we could be so quick to see the speck of dust in another person's eye when in fact there's a huge plank in our own eye. All throughout history, friends, people have made mistakes, and at other times people have misunderstood another's intentions and judged them unfairly. And Jesus states clearly, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." Jesus was saying, slow it down a little bit before you rush to judgment. Think first, because you may be wrong. And I tell you, I've been wrong many times. So often we could jump to the wrong conclusions about another individual. We can assume that we can travel inside of their minds and with absolute certainty know exactly what they are thinking and what their intentions are. And I want to, unless technology advances quickly, we cannot do that. We cannot get into the heads and the minds of other individuals. I remember one time a parishioner, and I may have shared this in a sermon. I've had so many interesting experiences in the ministry these past 30 some odd years. Pastors, when we get together, we often say, why don't we collaborate and write a book? It would be a best-selling comedy. And other times it's sad, but there was a person in my church when I was up in Connecticut who came up to me during a coffee hour, and she was very disturbed. She says, "Pastor, do you have a problem with me?" And I was stunned because I didn't have a problem with her. I responded, "No, why do you ask?" And she said, "Well," in a very irritated way, she replied, "I was at the mall yesterday, and you walked right by me, and it was obvious that you intentionally ignored me. Do you have a problem with me?" Well, first of all, I explained, I hate malls. Secondly, I hate shopping. And thirdly, I was probably desperately looking for a coffee shop to buy a cup of coffee. So no, I'm not mad at you. You see, that judgment was inaccurate and it was wrong and that's not what I was thinking. And usually when I'm at the mall, I don't see anybody because I'm sort of in limbo, just waiting to get out of there like an inmate in prison.
Amen.
Amen, brother. And I want to tell you again, as a pastor, and I'm sure you could say it as well, as a pastor, this has happened to me many times in my ministry. Now, I'll give you another example because I want to lead into somebody else's story. I'm very grateful, and there's no reason why I would be. In all the decades that I've been in ministry and in my professional life before I entered the ministry, I have never been accused of sexual harassment. Never. And I'm kind of proud of that. First of all, why? Because I love God, I love my wife, and I have a tremendous respect for women. But I can tell you, because I'm so easygoing and conversant and friendly with people, it could be misread as being flirtatious. And no one's ever said that, but I'm leading into my friend's story. A friend of mine was a Monsignor in a very large Catholic church in the community where I pastored. Father Marty Ryan, just a good soul. I mean, if you ever met somebody that you really liked the first time you met this person, Marty was that kind of guy. He was just a down-to-earth, honest, good guy. But I'll tell you, his intentions were misread and judged, and it made the front page of the major newspapers in our area. It was misread by a staff member in his church, and the diocese removed him and sent him away, took him out of that parish. He was there for 12 years and helped build a new sanctuary. I mean, he was like the leader of our clergy association. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when accusations are correct. They're honest. They need to be addressed. And I think that's we're seeing a little bit of that in the Catholic Church today. But my question is, did he say anything wrong? According to witnesses, the answer is no. He did not. Did he say anything of a sexual connotation to this staff member? And the answer again was no. He did not. Was he overly friendly? Was he complimentary to individuals and even that complainant, which he was to everybody he met along life's way, whether it was a male or a female, it didn't matter. Yes, he was guilty of that, and it made that staff member uncomfortable, and so she filed her complaint, and he was quickly removed from his parish because of the sensitive times that the Catholic Church is in, and even back then. Quick to assume we know what the other person's thinking, when in fact that's not what Marty was thinking at all. And his career or his calling or his ministry for years, without complaint, just a phenomenal track record as far as reaching out into the community, leading people to Christ and a godly life, was just short-circuited just like that because of misreading his intentions. Jesus would say this, that isn't the right way to go when dealing with people. So often in a highly sensitive society in which we live today, people without knowing the facts will make quick judgments about individuals. I was conversing with an artist friend of mine. I have lots of friends that are artists and who considers himself an agnostic, and I didn't believe that. But I started conversing with him, and I tried to witness to him in a polite way, and he politely responded to me. He said, Chuck, the church is made up of a bunch of hypocrites. Whoa, my mustache was singed on that one. Now, I realized, he didn't realize, but his statement was judgmental in and of itself. I didn't say that. I wasn't able to get too deep in that conversation because I knew he was very uncomfortable and he was starting to get a little agitated, so I kind of backed off. However, I firmly believe if I could have gotten deeper into his thought process, I believe my friend was hurt by the church or a Christian somewhere along the line. He could have been a young man, or he could have been an adult, but somewhere along the line, the church as an organization or an individual or individuals in the church must have given him the impression that what they preach, they don't live, and therefore he just blanketed with a stroke of his brush. The church is made up of a bunch of hypocrites, which we know that's not true, except for, no, I'm only kidding. But you see, as Christians, friends, and I know all of us fall short at times with this. I get it. I'm in it with you. I understand that. I'm not excusing it. But we should always take the high ground when we're dealing with people, because I believe our witness and our behavior and our interaction with people will have an impact on that individual, especially when they find out you attend worship on a regular basis. You go to that brick church on South Ocean and Church Street, and yet it doesn't line up, and therefore the whole church and you and everybody else must be a bunch of hypocrites. You know, there's another text of Scripture, Luke chapter 6, verses 37 following, and this is what Jesus says: "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured over you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." In other words, Jesus is saying, treat people like you would like to be treated. That's basically what he's saying in his text this morning. How do you like being treated? How do I like being treated by other people? How did I feel when that person came up to me during coffee hour and accused me of ignoring her in a very agitated way? I was like a deer caught in headlights. It wasn't true. I didn't sense that. I didn't feel that. That wasn't my intention. And I'm not quite sure after she left me that she believed me, no matter how hard I tried to convince her that I wasn't angry with her. And I did not intentionally try to ignore her. You know, is this passage saying that we could never call out a wrong? In other words, when we talk about judgmentalism, I mean, if somebody's actively doing something that we know is wrong, I think we have an obligation as an individual, as a church, as a witness for Christ, we should stand up for justice, don't get me wrong, or stand up against injustice and stand up for justice. There's a time when we are to stand up and call somebody out. If an actual occurrence had happened, then we should investigate and call somebody out. But before doing so, I guess Jesus is saying to us, make sure you have the facts. Make sure you know what you're talking about before you go after that other individual. Forgiveness and mercy is always a whole lot better than judging and condemning. Always. There's no way any of us can know exactly what somebody's thinking all of the time. It's just impossible. We can save ourselves and others a whole lot of grief by not trying to figure out a person's hidden motives or why they behave in a certain way. Because you know why? We may be wrong, and I've been wrong many times, many times. Desperately looking for a Starbucks coffee, again, I was accused of being angry with another individual. In John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus stated that he didn't come into this world to condemn this world, but to save it. And if that is true, and I think it is, why would we think that we can condemn people? If Jesus is not condemning people, why would we think that we can? And I think that's his message today. The role of the Christian believer, of you and me, is to love, accept, and forgive. And through our kindness, help lead that person or other individuals into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So in closing, Jesus instructs us to take a long, hard look at ourselves, right? He says, look at the plank in your eye, in my eye, before you look at the speck of dust in your brother or sister's eye. So he says, introspectively take a look at yourself. I need to take a look at myself. Are we perfect? No. Are we without fault? Heavens, no. Have we ever messed up? Have you ever messed up?
Today?
Today. I love you. I love you, Bob. That's a good response. I guess we would answer to that question that yes, we've messed up. No, we're not perfect. Yes, we've done things that we're embarrassed about, and we have judged people, and we've misread them and their intentions and everything, and we have felt foolish when we found out we were wrong. We have been judged, and we have had people question our intentions, our behavior. We have been victims of other people's behavior based on information they didn't have about us that was accurate. So he says, before we point out another person's fault, take a long, hard look in the mirror and think about who we are. In the body of Christ, love must be the overreaching principle and not judgment. Now, I want to end by going back to that video that you just watched. Here was a guy, a decent guy, a guy whose flight was delayed, a guy who decided to buy a bunch of cookies because he didn't know how long it was going to take for his flight to leave. And did you notice that the other guy was smiling at him? Well, the accuser was eating his cookies. He turns out to be the generous one. And the other guy's so perturbed. How dare you? And he even shared the last cookie with him. And he said, what nerve. And then he removes his coat and there's the box of his own cookies. And he goes, oh, man, where is this guy? He couldn't find him. And he winds up giving his cookies away because he was convicted that he was wrong. His judgment about the other person was not accurate at all. So I think what Jesus is encouraging us to do this morning on this Christ the King Sunday, because I think it's a very heavy message to preach this morning, because none of us really want to be accused of being judgmental, but yet many times we are. And so I think we're being challenged this morning. Maybe the next time before we go off on somebody, the next time we get irritated with somebody on the checkout line during this crazy season that we're entering, the next time we're angry with a motorist that's going too slow in front of us, the next time we become angry with somebody, even in our own church, stop for a moment, pause. Think. Maybe this person's not thinking or doing this intentionally to irritate me. And give me the peace and the love to reach out and touch this person in a different way than being judgmental. And so, Lord God, during this season of Advent that we're about to go into next Sunday, it's an introspective reflection time where we should look at ourselves before we celebrate the coming of the Savior of the world. Deal with us in ways that will soften our heart, that will give us the heart of you, Lord God, so that when we look at other people in our community, in our family, in our church, in the workplace, we will see people differently and not be quick to judge, but be quick to love, forgive, embrace, and lead. And so thank you for this instruction this morning, Lord. We need it desperately because we want to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.